In this episode of IBEC Responds, Sharon Higgins, Executive Director for Membership and Sectors at IBEC, and Pat McCann, former CEO of Dalata Hotel Group, discuss the work of IBEC's Experience Economy Policy Committee and our recently launched Experience Economy Insights Report.
Hello, I'm Sharon Higgins, Executive Director of Membership and Sectors here in IBEC. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. In this episode, we're going to delve into the vibrant landscape of Ireland's experience economy, exploring IBEC's Experience Economy Policy Committee's vision for its expansion and how important it is that we get government support to nurture its growth. So let me just start with a very brief explanation as to what it is. So Ireland's experience economy is a dynamic sector which brings together many different subsectors. The economy comprises of hundreds and thousands of individuals nationwide who deliver exceptional experiences that define Ireland's reputation on a global stage. The business that it includes include a range across a complex supply chain from the front of house hospitality that many of us know very well, from hotels, restaurants, bars, tourist attractions, right through to retail, but also that whole supply chain of food, drinks, entertainment, technology, laundrettes and so much more. In fact, our recent economic assessment report underscores the profound impact of the economy on Ireland's economic fabric. The sector directly employs 230,000 individuals in that front of house. That constitutes nearly 9% of the country's total workforce. Moreover, it directly stimulates an additional 100,000 jobs through interconnected supply chains and services. So it's really, really important to our economy. 32,000 enterprises operate in that front of house business alone, and 70% of those operate outside of Dublin. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Counties like Galway, Clare, my own county, Donegal, Kerry exhibit remarkable shares in these key subsectors. Today, I'm delighted to have Pat McCann here with me, the former CEO of Dalata Hotel Group and current chair of IBEC's Experience Economy Committee here as our guest. With over five decades of experience in the industry and a rich history of leadership, Pat brings a wealth of knowledge and insights, and we're delighted to have him with us. Welcome, Pat, and thanks for joining. So first of all, tell us a little bit about your experience of the experience economy.
Thank you, Sharon, and thank you for that introduction. And you call it out pretty well. And as somebody who has spent the last 52 years of my life involved in the experience economy, I see the value of it. And the value comes in many ways. It's not alone is it important to the cities, but it's so important to the towns and villages. And you mentioned a lot of counties on the Western seaboard. And without the experience economy, there would be very sad places. So it has a huge impact on both the economic and the social life of hundreds of thousands of people who live in these areas and are, I suppose, helped by the fact that employment is given locally. And, you know, while we have our wonderful FDI businesses, which I wholeheartedly support, it's equally important to have these domestic SME businesses that will support the local domestic economies. And it means that people can stay in their homes and in their local places and not to have to travel abroad. So that's one thing. But also the economic value that it brings to Ireland Inc., I think, is always overlooked. And, you know, it is essentially an export business. And it's always looked at as being a domestic type of business, but it's far from that. Like most of the business that we have in our experience economy comes internationally. And that in turn then supports a plethora of downstream businesses, which without the experience economy wouldn't exist. And therefore that employment wouldn't exist. So I was delighted to be asked to chair the Experience Economy Committee about 3 years ago. We've done some great work in terms of getting the message out there, but there's an awful lot more to do because, you know, while government is listening, we need them to listen a little bit harder. And, you know, when you look at industry now, and it's been constantly adapting and changing over those 52 years, but now it's faced with some headwinds that really they will need help to get out the other end and to survive.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting that you talk about all of those jobs around the country. But we know, and nobody better than yourself, having gone through all of our regional committees there about a year ago when we started this campaign, maybe a bit longer now, and all of the FDI industries and all of the big industries around the country actually felt it was critically important that the experience economy functioned in order for them to be able to attract employees and to keep employees in the area. So it really is a symbiotic relationship, and certainly something that is really critical to businesses.
Absolutely. And I mean, talking to all of the guys from the FDI, not alone does it mean that they can keep employees in the regions, but it also helps them with investment as well, because when their masters who come in from the US or wherever else they come from see these thriving economies, it makes them feel that there's a good reason to invest in this locality.
Absolutely. And the other really interesting part of, you know, as you bring that through, the masters coming in from around the world into Ireland, they're all coming in on pathways that tourism uses and that we all use to leave and come from the country. So it really is a very important symbiotic relationship. So on that, we'll be very positive as we go through this interview here. What's working well? What do you believe is working really well in Ireland at the moment?
Well, again, and I touched on it earlier on, you know, the way that the industry at large has adapted and reinvented itself over many decades, and that continues apace. And you know, while digital adoption is going well, it could be a lot better. And I think what we need to do is encourage businesses in the industry to look at digital as a way of helping them control and manage their costs. And I do think that some of them have done a great job. Some probably needs a little bit of help to get there because they find it daunting. And in reality, once you get into it, it's not daunting at all. So I think digital adoption has gone reasonably well. I'd like to see a lot more in it. You know, but as well as that, what has happened across the world is that standards have changed. Like I remember years ago, you know, direct dial telephone from your bedroom was a big deal. And then, of course, the really big deal was when you got colour television. And all of that was big headlines. Of course, nowadays, you know, unless you have Wi-Fi, unless you have been able to download things and watch them on your TV, it's you're not at the race. So all of these things have changed, but standards of cleanliness, how we do things, the quality of food. Like, you wouldn't recognise Ireland now to 15, 20 years ago. It's been dramatic. And that's because you have an industry that can really adapt and change and, I suppose, meet the new standards. We now have a product in Ireland that will compete with anywhere in the world. And that, to me, is encouraging. When you see our friends in Scotland coming to visit us to see how are we doing things, because they have fallen way behind the pace in terms of their physical asset and in terms of their people and their training and development. Ireland is well ahead on that.
I think it's really interesting to hear you talk about that, because it's only when you look back you realise how much your passport photo has changed, you know. So in 15 years' time, what will it look like? And that's what we're all about here, isn't it? Really trying to make sure that Ireland meets all of the potential that we have.
Yes, and that's why we'd be asking government to actually look at this and to help these businesses that have survived for so many years and are now struggling because of these increased cost pressures, which are not self-inflicted, let's be honest about it. So that's the reality, and that's the reality what a lot of them face. So we do need to make sure that they get the supports out there. And like I notice now with our new Taoiseach, Mr. Simon Harrison, I wish him well. He's been very helpful to us in IBEC over many years, that he will listen to the needs of the businesses and to make sure that there are the supports that they have promised start to take effect pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting and important point, because we can think about the future all we want. If it's not here tomorrow, there won't be much point in that. Yes. So the first thing we have to do is make sure that competitive space is really, really strong. I mean, you talked a bit about digitalization. The twin part to that, of course, is sustainability. Have you any thoughts or comments on where we are and where we need to go?
Yeah, and I mean, again, when I look across the industry and what they've managed to do, all through their own investment, to move into a much more sustainable environment, and what they've managed to do internally, whether it's a hotel, a restaurant, a bar, whatever else, all of the other support industries, what they've managed to do. You know, we've come a long way in terms of the way we look at things, whether it's lighting, heating, all of those things. But there's a long way to go because we have a lot of older buildings that are much more difficult to deal with, and we don't want to lose these iconic character buildings that we have. But equally, we have to look at ways of how we can become almost carbon neutral at some point. But that is not going to be an easy road to take. And while we have made great strides in terms of waste management, you know, I know a lot of properties now are landfill free, which is a massive achievement. But there's a lot more to go. But I'm confident that they'll get there.
Yeah, and I think it's great to do this, because clearly we all want to save the planet and we want to make sure we've got a really sustainable environment. But it's a huge potential advantage for us here in Ireland. You know, we have the green land that we live in, and that kind of that brand of sustainability there already. So if we really work on it, it can be a huge potential for us, and to do it in the right way. But clearly all of this requires people. So do you want to talk about the people that you see in Ireland and the quality of education, the quality of people coming through the system, the training, and what we can do there?
And again, you know, when you look at a lot of the businesses, like 10 years ago, there was probably very little in-house training done. There was very little career opportunities. But that's all changed, where now everybody recognises that training and growing your own, for want of a better word, is a big deal. And if you want to be competitive and stay ahead of the game, you know, without your people, you haven't a business. And therefore, being able to, I suppose, mould and grow your own people into the culture that you want to adopt is a significant investment, but also I look at it not as a cost, and I mentioned the word investment. It is an investment. So always remember that you're investing in people to help your business.
Absolutely. That's a great end to that little segment there. I suppose when you look back at everything and you think about the future and what the work we're doing, and you're chairing this policy group that we have in IBEC, what is the overarching, what's the big ask that you have of government?
Well, I suppose there's what I would call immediate asks, which is really around the cost and the some of the trauma that I see around the countryside at the moment. Around the cost and how they can manage their business to develop and, I suppose, grow and become that sustainable business that they need to be. And I worry about that. I really do. And for the first time in my life, I'm worried about the cost structures that now exist in the industry. And that is something that has to be dealt with. And that's the soonest part, as I would call it. I suppose in the medium term, I'd like to see where we'd move to recognise that the experience economy is an industry, and it is not some, I suppose, cottage business that has suddenly kind of sprung up. And we've come an awful long way from that. And when you look at the contribution that the experience economy makes, it is important that there's an economic ministry for the experience economy. And with all due respects to our tourism minister, Catherine Martin, and I have no gripe with her, it's about the focus. We're piled in with too many other things, and we don't get the focus that it's really needed. It's a respect for the business that supports so many towns and villages and cities around the country that we need to recognise. When you look at what some other countries do in supporting their tourism product and how they have a real focus on it, and they reap the benefits of that.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. This is no gripe against any particular minister or anything like that, but to see it as a bigger statement. It's a bigger sector. It's a bigger part of the economy, and it brings together an awful lot of different things together. So I think that's a really, really good point. When you look to the future, how do you think we can future-proof Ireland's experience economy? What do you think we can do more?
Well, you know, we always talk about cost and competitiveness. And I suppose the reality is now we have a few stark realities to deal with around this area that is going to be quite challenging for businesses to overcome. Because unfortunately what happens, of course, when you have these plethora of new costs hitting you, the only way you can look at is how you'll do that and recoup that through revenue. So you suddenly find that prices are increasing. And like Ireland, let's be honest, was never a cheap place to do business. And now it's even less so. And even though we've done pretty well on the competitiveness stakes, we now need to make sure that we look at it slightly differently, that we have to, I suppose, look at how we can curtail some of these costs, how the businesses themselves can manage their costs better, and look at kind of technology to help them do this. That's one part. So we can do things to help ourselves. But by and large, this I suppose, fence is so high, we will need a lot of help getting over it. Because the other problem that you'll have is if we don't do this, some of the things that they've done on the sustainability side will start to take a back seat, and none of us want that. So there's a lot to do that. But I suppose, you know, there's been so much done on the labour market with people and training them and making sure that they have futures, that they have a career in the business, as I did for 52 wonderful years. And let's be honest, I'd highly recommend it to starting out as a hall porter in Ross's Point. Didn't even know what a Hoover was. We've come a long way, but it is a wonderful industry, and the joy that you get out of it and the people that you meet, and no 2 days are ever the same. It's an exciting place to be if that's what you want out of life. So I think we need to convince a lot more people to look at it as a career and a sustainable career.
Thanks, Pat. And I think when you said that it was the one time in your entire career where you saw costs as being a really big challenge, I think that says a lot, because the last 50 years have been very interesting, to say the least. So I think that's a real, you know, watch out for us all. And I know through the policy committee, it has been a real priority. And indeed, through IBEC, it's been a huge priority for us. And it has been good to hear the Taoiseach and various ministers alluding to the need to address some of these issues now, including PRSI and also the whole area of the National Training Fund. So two of the things you would have called out there. So again, from my perspective, great to have you on board. Great to have that dynamism going forward. Certainly 52 years young in the industry is probably a way of putting it. Lots more to give. And one of the things that maybe to call out here on the podcast, Pat, is that we've launched a really good report quite recently, More Than Meets the Eye, Key Recommendations for a Sustainable Future for the Experience Economy. And it gives all of those policy recommendations in it, but also it gives six really, really great case studies of some phenomenal companies right across the island, from Drumolin Castle to Croke Park to various other companies, I should say, right around the country, that show how good things can be done and how we can really sustain and grow the sector. And most of those are actually on the policy committee as well, so we're in good hands.
It's a wonderful report and I recommend it highly. I've actually sent it on to loads of people to read. I think there's so much in it, and you will glean lots from it for those of you who take the time just to read it.
Fantastic. So on that note, thank you very much for joining us, Pat, and we'll be back, I'm sure, in the future with an update as to how everything is going and hopefully all in the right direction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of IBEC Responds. To listen to our full suite of podcasts, please visit ibec.ie/podcasts.